for what you're going to do tonight in this room. In Jesus' name, by His stripes, we are healed. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we are healed in Jesus' name. And everybody shout amen and amen. If you want to get ready in the Scriptures here tonight, I want you to please get ready and get over, if you will, to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look at something here that everybody's familiar with. And this is really on my heart. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. Then we're going over to Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Two different, dramatic, powerful, undeniable miracles of God. How many still believe in miracles? Say amen. Now, I want to get to this right quick, if I may, and just set the stage for this, and I'm going to be true to my word. I'm watching that clock down here, so I want to be true to my word. And then if the Holy Spirit takes over and does something, that's His deal. Then I'm off the hook, that kind of thing. All right. First of all, I want to say it's a pleasure to be here. Amen. And when I'm not particularly happy under the circumstances how I happened to be here, because your pastor was ill and asked me if I would, called me yesterday and said, would you come and help me out? And I happened to be able to do that. But I'm glad to get to be here, period, and I'm glad it worked out. So I'm honored about that. And we hold him up in prayer. We're believing God, he's going to come back stronger than ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe for that. And then to get to see my beautiful sister sitting there. And I of course, am her favorite brother. Neither of them are here to protest that, so I can get by with a lot. But they'll be waiting for me in glory, straighten me out on all that. But it's great to be here, and I sure love every one of you. The thing that concerns me as I set this up is that, you know, there's one thing that God has never met a situation called impossible that He couldn't take care of that. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when you think about it? Nothing shall be impossible unto Him. And that's important we understand that. Nothing is impossible with God. With men, it may be impossible, but not with God. That's the thing you want to internalize in your spirit, but not with God. Now, in setting this up, I just want to allude to something, if I may. Next week, I'm in San Jose, California. And this man by the name of Pastor Kenny Foreman started this church a number of years ago, and I've been going there for 25 or 30 years, whatever it is, a long time. And it's a church, they have about 12 or 14,000 in that place, and it's really a phenomenal thing. But that man, the founder of that church, Kenny Foreman, and both his wife are facing, without God's help, insurmountable situations in their health. Their son now, Ken Jr., has come along with the other son, Kurt. It's a miraculous thing what's happening in the church, but they've been dealing with this, Ken Foreman has, with cancer for some period of time. And every time you get on the phone with him about this, and he wants to talk about it, you never hear him digress into like an oh me mentality. He never gets into that. He never sees himself as a victim. I think that's important that we just internalize that right now. He never sees himself as a victim. He just sees himself as a conqueror and an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And then Shirley, his wife, she's battling a life situation that both of them need miracles. And then I think about what the Scripture has to say. I think about Pastor Bob Nichols' brother, Ralph, that had throat cancer. And I remember talking to him just a few days after he had talked about that and found out about it. And I can still remember what came out of his mouth. And I mean, it was just an amazing thing. You'd never know the man had just been diagnosed with serious throat cancer. But I'm telling you, he just, when he's on the phone, he just began to quote the word right back at me. And by the time he got through with me, I was encouraged in the Lord. And then all that he's been through all of his treatments, to see him today being pronounced cancer-free. Don't we praise God for that? I mean, don't we praise God for that? Jesus doesn't bow the knee to the name cancer, but cancer has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. And then I think about my longtime friend. Even before he was married, I started preaching in his church called World Harvest, Rod Parsley, in Columbus, Ohio, and I was just recently there. But when he was diagnosed with cancer of the vocal cords, well, the doctor shut him down. He had 28 radiation treatments and all the other things that went through that he had to encounter. And then, most of all, his voice had to shut down. Now, just think about this for a minute. His voice. It wasn't the attack on his arm or his leg or other parts of his body, but that vehicle that he delivers the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. That's where the attack took place. And it was a high stage of the cancer in his vocal cord. But then to hear him fire back, and we couldn't do it for a long time verbally, so thank God for texting. But I'm telling you, he'd text back, and my phone would light up, and it would get red hot, it seemed like. Because he's just saying that the devil's going to pay. The devil's going to pay. What I'm endeavoring in just this early moments of saying this, we're just going to stand in our faith and not roll over and not give in. And here's the thought that's on my mind. The thing about this thing called cancer, it just seems like we hear about this so much, that this thing only surfaces, and when it surfaces, it's often the statement made that there's nothing we can do. You know what I'm saying. That thing can live dormant in your body, and then all of a sudden, 20 years later down the road, you're faced with something, and then it's pronounced, there's nothing we can do. And so that happens. But here's the thing that I want to slam home tonight. If there is tonight, I just want to call, I'm calling this out. This is major Holy Ghost pushback against this. And it's this. If there is one tiny cancer cell that lies dormant of any of God's children in this room tonight, that may not surface to the Lord, Terry, for 20 years. We just want that tiny baby cell that may be hidden in your body tonight. We command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. Now that is big time in my spirit tonight. Big time. So now I want to get into this for just a little bit. The first person I want to talk about, this is so visual you can see it. The first person I want to talk about in chapter 5, and it's chapter 5, verse 25, I believe it begins. But anyway, it's a story that everybody in this room knows. There's my buddy Max. We've been buddies. He's a lot older than me for probably many years. My boyhood buddy. I love him so much. And I've had to pull him out of many a scrape. And I'm waiting for him to say, no, no, that was you, not me. And he's right on that. God bless my dear friend and everyone else. Now, this story is familiar to everybody, so it's almost like anybody can get up and tell the story. But there's some things that I want you to get involved in this. This is a woman. We know her woman. She doesn't have a name. So it's not a woman that we have a name for her. And so it's just a woman. So we can call her, she was nameless. This woman is nameless. We don't know her name. But this woman had had a disease in her body, and the New James calls it an issue of blood. Well, it is from all apparent, from everything I've studied in the research, it would be like she was hemorrhaging to death. And many theologians certainly would say that that could be in some form of cancer in that day, because they couldn't stop the hemorrhaging in her body. So in other words, this is a case that required hospitalization or certainly going to the doctor. Well, the thing about going to the doctor was the right move on her part. And the scripture says in that this woman, she would go to the doctor. Not just one doctor, but obviously to anyone that she could find that could help her. And every one of them came back, obviously, with a bad report. That there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do. Then the scripture continues on and it says this. That she went to the physicians, and then she had spent all that she had. Nothing left, no hope, no way out. Now, I want to say this. I stand as a man appreciative of medical science and everything that doctors have dedicated their lives to do to alleviate human suffering. I thank God for healing physicians. But doctors will also tell you some things we just can't do. They're trying. They're giving it their best shot. But my scripture says, with men it may be impossible. But not with God. All things are possible to him that believeth. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of the living God. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Jeremiah phrased it this way, that God stands behind his word to see to it that it's performed to the letter. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and he healed them. In other words, he said, he holds in respect higher the authenticity and the power of his word than even of his name. And you can't get any higher than the name of Jesus. In other words, everything changes in life. People change and denominations change and spouses change. Events change and things over which we have no control, they change. But there is one thing we can be confident. This is important. It's bedrock to my faith. One thing is not subject to change. No counsel can change it. No one can come along and rewrite it. Nor revisit it and revise it. And that is the infallible, unchanging word of the living God is not subject to change. Fired up about this tonight, aren't I? Fired up about it. Because this is important that this is, he's unrelenting in making his point. And then he demonstrates it in his ministry. Our Lord demonstrates it. Don't have time to go through all the numerous miracles that he performed. So we're talking about Jesus, and now we're talking about this woman and how their lives are going to intersect. And this is really something. The scripture said that she heard about him, Jesus. How she heard about it, I don't know that part. But she heard about him. And the scripture says, and I know it goes first to the miracle, and then she talks about it, but I'm just going to kind of put it in the sequence that I see it. She heard about this man called Jesus, and she said to herself, she said, If I can just get to him, I don't have to, you know, take up his time. I think about there's people that just have this one person in their mind, if I can just get to that one person. And I always remember this story when I'm on this subject. It just comes to my mind talking about this right now. And it was that woman that I prayed for in a revival. And so I was, reached out, and she had a big knot on the side of her neck. And then I prayed for her about something, whatever it was. And then I said, let me just go ahead while we're here and just pray for that big swollen knot area on the side of your neck. And I reached out to touch it like this, and she kind of swiped my hand away. She said, don't touch that. She said, I'm saving it for Oral Roberts. That's a true story. I would lie later on, I visited Brother Roberts many times at his home, and I'd tell him that story. And she said, he'd say, Dwight, you'd be surprised. That's how many people think that. Well, I have great confidence in Oral Roberts, but of course he's now in heaven. And of Brother Hagin and others that we would think of along that line. But the whole point is that you want to get this in your spirit tonight. You may not confine that person. You may feel like, if I can just get to that one. But I have even far greater news than that. And that is, Jesus is never out of the office. You don't have to go through his secretary, or he won't be off out of touch. He's always available. He's closer to you than the breath that is within your body. That ought to make somebody kind of get feisty right now, because it's the truth. He's always available to us right now. So this woman, she said, you know, I don't need to take up his time, but basically, and I'm just paraphrasing it, but it's true to the text. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now let's think about this for a moment. Let's just think about this for a moment. A lot of people, the first thing that happens to them when they get to feeling bad or whatever the circumstances, the first thing they'll often do is just stay away from church. Now, I'm just saying something that I want you to remember. That's the time, more than ever, to be in the company of God's people. I want you to hear that. Don't let me forget about that woman. I'll be back to her in just a minute, but the Holy Spirit's bringing this to mind. Mac Hammond, he pastors one of the great churches in America, in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, in Brooklyn Park. And I preach there, and I'm heading there pretty quick. But Mac Hammond is one of these men. He's one of these faith preachers. And that's the label they'll put on that church and others like that. You know, everybody seems to like the label people. But he's just a Bible-believing man is all he is. Well, he discovered that they have found in his prostate what they believe to be cancer. And so he just simply refused to accept that. And so he just stood on his faith. And here's what the Spirit of the Lord said to him. Now, remember what I just said a moment ago about staying in the company of believers. Don't let the devil get you wounded and keep you out there. And Max said, what I thought I'd do for a year and a half, I'd just keep it to myself. You know, I wasn't worried about it. I wasn't, you know, concerned about it. I just knew the Lord was going to take care of it. But then a year and a half later, the doctor said, you better deal with this now. So he finally consented to go off. And before he went away, here's what the Spirit of the Lord said. Now, you've kept this to yourself this whole time. I don't want you to keep this to yourself. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You know, faith man, doesn't matter what anybody thinks if you're concerned about that. I'm just elaborating on this. Doesn't matter what. Well, people will think I don't have enough faith. Well, you better forget about what people think and begin. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Mac Hammond, and he said, what I want you to do, I want you to go into your church, which is several thousand people, and I want you to share this in the company of believers. And Mac Hammond said, suddenly, I realize what the Lord is saying. He's saying for me to tell the people. He said, when you get bad news, don't keep it to yourself. Bring it into the house of God, because there's believers in the house. There are believers in this house. That's why no matter what you're going through, there's healing in the house. There's salvation in the house. There's deliverance in the house. There's victory in the house. There's support in the house. There's encouragement in the house. Everything that you need is in the house of God. There's faith people all around you right now. So he had called me and he said, come and preach for me this weekend, and I'm going to have the procedure done and so on. So he went off to have that done. And then he had just shared it with his people. And then he went off and had that done. So we started that service on a Saturday night. And then I do four of those on Sunday. And so on a Saturday night, all of a sudden, just before I took the service, we get this report. And it's Mac Hammond, the pastor, on the phone. And wherever he went for this emergency situation to be done, when they got in there and one more time x-rayed it to pinpoint it all, the doctor, he's confused. He said, well, I must have the wrong report here. And he stood a while, and the report was, and they did it over again. And he said, there's no need for any of this. I can't find one bit, one trace of that. I can't find it. I just can't find it. I think that there is victory and power in unity. And all of us in agreement. We're in agreement for pastor's total healing here tonight. We're in agreement for you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Got to hurry this up, don't I? And so this woman finally, she comes to the place, and this is what she says. Now think. Her body had to be depleted. It had to be weakened beyond words. There's always a crowd around him. But just imagine, no matter how weak, no matter how depleted, no matter how discouraged, no matter how many mind games the enemy had played with her, no matter how many people had told her, you know, we're so sorry, no matter how much had been piled on her, some way she got on her feet, got out of that house, and then she headed toward this crowd. Jesus was coming her way. And now then, if that wasn't enough in her weakness, now then there's people everywhere. I can see that, can't you? And yet she persevered and she pushed. I just think there's something in this right now to say, no matter how easy it may be to give up, be tenacious. Persevere. You just let the devil know, if I'm going down, I'm going down swinging, bud. I'm going down. In other words, just get everything working, but be determined, I'm going to get to Jesus. Well, this is a physical case now of a spiritual situation. I can just see her saying, probably politely and maybe not politely, would you please get out of my way, please? Or would you? Anyway, she made her way. Till suddenly she saw his garment, and that garment was different than all of the others because she knew to touch that one. She reached out and she touched his garment. If you'll just give me time, I'm going to get there. I promise I'll get there. Thanks all for all your help in case I'm not getting it right. So she reached out and she just touched him. Well, the minute she touched him, it wasn't the touch of others just brushing him because of the crowd. We know that. But Jesus stopped. And the reason he stopped, because many had banged against him, many had brushed up against him. That didn't stop him, but this one stopped him. And he stopped and he said, somebody touched me. Isn't that an amazing thing? Somebody touched me. Isn't it an amazing thing? Now, what was the difference? Somebody touched me, but wait a minute. The disciples wanted to make their point. Others around, Master, you know, really, think about this. Everybody's pushing. The crowd is so great. They press you. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody touched me with faith. They had a need and they have faith because I perceive. I sense, I know, I felt it leave my body. Virtue went out of my body. Somebody tapped into the reservoir of my healing power. Somebody drew on my healing power. Isn't that a great thing? Drew on my healing power. Are you ready to draw from His healing power? And that little woman was suddenly there. He saw her. She may have been nameless. She may have been chained. C-H-A-I-N-E-D, chained. You could say she was chained. But the moment she... healing went into her body and she was changed. Changed. Right then, changed. And she touched our master and he looked at her and the last words he would say to her, your faith has made you whole. But he named her then. She didn't have a name to begin with. She was chained and she was changed. And now she was claimed and given a name. And he called her daughter. Hallelujah. Your faith has made you whole. Now give me one more chance here. At the next one, where was I a while ago? Chapter 8, I believe it is. What verse am I into there on Bart, blind Bartimaeus? Is that not 25, chapter 8? So blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 8. Now he's this man that the Bible said he was sitting by the wayside or the roadside begging. So he was begging, wasn't he? And he was begging that somebody would help him. Well, here's this crowd coming, blind Bartimaeus. Here's this crowd coming. Now he can't see, and he's a beggar. I know the Cruises know that song. One sat alone beside the highways begging. His eyes were blind. The light he... Anybody else, I would say I work alone, but you, pal, you can sing. He clutched his rags and he shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade the darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and he fills my life with glory. For all is changed. I look calm, but I'm really dancing on the inside. When Jesus comes to stay. I could work with you. You know, I could be the outside crews come. So this blind Bartimaeus, he comes along and he hears about this man called Jesus. He's heard about him. And through blinded eyes, he cries out, Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me. That's Mark chapter 10, verse 47. Now, he didn't have to go to school to learn to do this, and he didn't go to some seminary or cemetery or some school of theology. His desperation required a desperate measure. He really had been delivered from the opinions of men. And that's a pretty good message all on its own right there. How many people are being held in bondage because they're worried about what somebody might think? But I want you to know you're in a church to where anytime you need help, you're in a church that will let you cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't you let circumstances keep you from crying out. You don't need a PhD to know how. This is a simple way. All you've got to do is just learn how to shout, help me, Jesus. And that very moment, they brought the blind man to Jesus. He wasn't blind anymore. He was healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my message to you tonight, there is nothing impossible with God. We are not going to roll over no matter what the doctor may say, but we are going to individually and corporately put our faith together and declare from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I'm healed. Will you say that with me? From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I'm healed. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm a believer. I'm a man or woman of faith. I believe right now where I'm sitting, Jesus is here. Now, there's people right now just being healed with the power of God, and I just want you to just stay seated. In the name of Jesus, be healed, my sister. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I want people to begin to affirm this. I am healed in Jesus' name right now. My body's healed. That I know of, of which I need a miracle, I'm healed. Even the things in my body that I'm not aware of it, but I inform sickness, malady, disease, infirmity, don't even think about it. You're going to send that stuff back to the pit of hell from whence it came in the name of Jesus. Tell the devil he has no authority, no jurisdiction over your body in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not through with this yet. I want to nail this down good and tight. Let's just keep praying right where we're sitting. Let's just keep praying. Now you remember what I said a moment ago? Brother Roberts is in heaven, and Brother Hagen and Brother Hinn, whomever we think of in terms of healing ministries. I think if you get that mindset, if I can just get to that one person. But I would like you to know that they are the first to tell you, they come against that in the name that's above every name. And you have the same authority and the same power. John 14, 11 and 12 talks about it. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So he didn't say to a certain individual and name them and circle that. No. He that believeth on me, the works that I do. So I have the same right as a child of the living God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have access to the throne. I don't have to have anybody but Jesus as my mediator to the throne. Since I belong to Jesus, I have been given the right and the authority to come humbly and boldly to the throne of grace to ask
my Savior. Remember this morning, I may be broken down on the side of the road for a little bit. Is anybody with me what I'm talking about? Those that get it, say, I know what you're talking about. I'm broke. But Jesus said, it bothers me. Remember? It bothers me when I see one of my children broken down on the side of the road and not performing what I've created them to perform. He doesn't want you to be defeated. So I'm going to take that my body, a temple of the Holy Ghost, I'll get a new one. I know it's getting older. But you know what? I'm not going to tolerate disease and infirmity to come on that body, because inside me is Jesus Christ. Inside me is the divine Holy Spirit. So let's continue our prayer right now in faith, believing. Just begin to keep praying this. So let's just start all over again. Now, in the name of Jesus, say it real, repeat after me real strong. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, I come to the throne. The throne of grace in that name. A child of the living God. I'm a child of God. Born through the blood of Jesus. I boldly, yet humbly, gratefully approach the throne. The same Christ that saved me. The same Christ that's taken away my sins. I now present my body before the throne, and I believe, as I ask, I shall receive, that any infirmity or disease in my body that I'm not even aware of, I command it in that name, that it has to go in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I think right now is a good time just to get up and kind of move a little bit. Move your body and just begin to say, I'm healed. Take authority over it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I walk in divine healing. My body's healed. My eyes are healed. No cancer in me in Jesus' name. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, my heart, my body, my organs, my skin. I just think we ought to be praising the Lord right now. I believe let's just praise Him right now. Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him right now. Let's just begin to praise Him. Every one of you that said, I needed this tonight, I need this miracle, get out and come on down here and stand. You're just coming on down here and say, that's me. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Begin to walk these aisles saying, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Boldly, 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 boldly. Zoniel, I know you're watching, darling, by streaming, but in the name of Jesus, you're healed. I pray for Jovita tonight, healing in the name of Jesus Christ, Maxie. In the name of Jesus Christ, healing in the name of Jesus. A company of believers.